Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Greetings, humans. You have entered the command zone, your destination for all aspects of Elder Dragon Highlander. Enjoy your stay.
Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome to a very special, well, kind of special, a mini-sode of the Command Zone podcast. I'm your host, Jimmy Wong.
How's it? It's Josh Lee Kwai. Yes, we're here again. Feels like we were just here.
We were, actually, but we weren't. It's been a while. But
it's only been like a couple of months.
The sirens are sounding. Woo, 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 woo. The band patrol has arrived, and so has the unbanned patrol. I don't know what that siren sounds like. But, but the Rules Committee has decided to ban a card and unban a card, and there's been quite a lot of discussion, a bit of derision, so we're going to jump into and talk about that today.
Oh. Yeah, but before we get into it, we got to talk about our brand new sponsor, channelfireball.com/command.
Yeah.
If you use that affiliate link, you will be supporting this content. And the really cool thing that Channel Fireball's got going on right now, or I guess going on October 1st, they're in the midst of launching a new service. It's called the Channel Fireball Marketplace. And what this is a place where vendors can sell you cards, but Channel Fireball is doing something that nobody else is doing. Mm-hmm. They are vetting their vendors. That means the sellers on their site are actually people who have to have a business license.
Yep.
They have to go through some kind of vetting process. I really like this because on other marketplace sites, you don't know who you're buying from. It could just be a random person in a basement. And that, if you've ever used those services, you know sometimes you just get a bad experience because somebody just doesn't know how to sell cards or package them or whatever.
Yeah,
they take a long time to get to you. You don't know what conditions sometimes they come in. Channel Fireball is setting it up so that they're only working with professionals, and that means that you're going to get a professional level of service.
You're also going to get the best prices because a marketplace naturally creates competition, and so people are going to drive the prices down to try to sell the cards to you. And you're going to have access to every single card out there because you have a wealth of different places to buy from, and their supply is going to be much, much better than just a single source.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Inventory, because they've got hundreds of vendors on their site when they launch, is going to be very high. If you need to find a special version of a card, they're going to have it. And also, we should say, the first month that they're opening the marketplace, they're doing a bunch of promos and a bunch of giveaways, you know, of course, to incentivize people to try out this service. But mm-hmm. what this means for you out there is if you're going to buy cards sometime in the near future, if you just wait till October 1st, you will be entered to win all kinds of cool stuff. They're giving away a bunch of signed Soul Ring.
The really
promo
cool
cards.
Promos, yeah, for Magic Fest.
Jimmy and I signed like 20 of them
25,
or something.
Yeah, and there's tons of other giveaways, including Black Lotus, I believe, at one point.
Oh, yeah, so. I think at the end, one of the final prizes is you could win a Black Lotus. So, yeah, so. You definitely want to buy your cards at the marketplace, try it out in that first month so you have a chance to win all that cool stuff.
Okay.
All right, let's get into the main topic here.
Yes, yeah. We shall.
So, Jimmy, you didn't get specific, but we can now. So, the card that was banned is Golos, Tireless Pilgrim.
Guess he actually got tired, and now
he got tired.
He got tired.
Sleep, y'all.
Or the format got tired of him, or the rules committee. Something happened, but Golos, Tireless Pilgrim is banned. And Worldfire, a card that's been on the ban list since we think we started playing the game, has been unbanned. But that's not the big deal. I think Golos is the big one, so we're going to get into that first.
Yeah, we'll talk about the Worldfire ban at the end, but let's talk about Golos first because it's obviously the biggest deal here. I'm going to read Golos, and then Jimmy, you can read the official Rules Committee statement about it. So Golos is 5 mana for an artifact legendary creature, a scout. Golos is a 3/5, and it says, when Golos enters the battlefield, you may search your library for a land card. Put that card onto the battlefield tapped, then shuffle your library. Any land, not just basic land. And then it Golos has an activated ability of 2 in Wooburg. So 2 plus 1 white, blue, black, red, and green, 7 mana total. And it says, exile the top 3 cards of your library. You may play them this turn without paying their mana costs. I actually played Golos on an episode of Game Nights long, long ago. Very powerful card. A bunch of reasons here that the rules committee is going to list off that why they banned it. And I guess we can just start with that, Jimmy. You want to read the official statement?
Okay. Golos Tireless Pilgrim has been a much discussed card that is both popular to play with and unpopular to play against. There are many problems with the card, but the greatest is that in the low to middle tiers where we focus the ban list, Golos is simply a better choice of leader for all but the most commander-centric cards. Its presence crushes the kind of diversity in commander choice which we want to promote. You can drop in Golos and a few 5-color lands into a random deck and get all the ramp and card advantage you would ever want from a commander with no worries about your mana base. Golos' ability effectively reduces the commander tax to 1, and once you hit 7 mana, with Golos assuring that you have Wooburg and helping you get there quickly, you don't need to do anything for the rest of the game except cast spells for free, something we always want to be careful about. We've talked to the folks in Studio X, and they understand the problems created by generically powerful 5-color commanders that don't have Wooburg in their mana cost. We don't expect similar cards to come from them in the future, so a surgical strike now makes sense. We understand that many players love Golos, so we don't take this action lightly. In the end, the health of the format is our primary concern, and we find Golos unhealthy. While Kenrith, the Returned King, is a similarly flexible and popular commander for good stuff 5-color decks, we see it as a clear step down from Golos. Okay, there is a lot to decipher in there.
I want to make a statement real quick here, just to be clear. When they mention Studio X, it's Magic R&D. It's the people designing the game. That's just...
Correct.
They renamed it Studio X, which sometimes they refer to as that, and sometimes they don't.
Oh, and one other thing I think we always have to clarify. Josh is not on the Rules Committee.
No.
Josh is on something called the Commander Advisory Group, which occasionally talks to people like the Rules Committee about cards and the format and all that stuff.
We advise.
Yes, they're not making the decision, so don't throw any flack our way for something like this.
It's fine. You could throw it, but you're going to find out here pretty quickly that I do not like this ban, am not in favor of it, and advised against it. That means that they did not listen to my advice, which is their prerogative as the Rules Committee, as I am only advisor and I am not on the committee. So yeah, let's break this down a little bit. Jimmy, I kind of wrote down like 3 points that stood out to me in the I do not like the ban category. I guess before we do that, to be fair, Jimmy, you know, are you generally in favor of the ban or against it?
Well, considering this is the game where I mindslavered you to oblivion because I thought the card was too powerful. I do have an opinion that I think Golos is extremely powerful, and the fact that it is, you know, just 5 generic mana and can be put in any 5-color deck means that you'll see this in quite a lot of decks in the 5-color range. However, I never personally have seen this card as a problem. This is one of those cards, I think, in our playgroups that I played against it. It's a remove on site type of card. It's one that says, okay, great, you're going to get some free value, but, you know, this game is about generating value. So I never personally found the problem with it. This definitely caught me by surprise when I woke up and saw this announcement, much more so than the unbanning. This banning, to me, actually makes very little sense because no one was having, at least in my broad view of this, the format, we've never heard anyone complain about Golos.
Not really.
We've never seen it be a problem in our playgroups, and I played in many different playgroups at Magic Fest from very low power level to very high power level, and they say they're focusing on the lower power level, but I just haven't seen this be an issue. So it doesn't make sense to me why it necessarily needs to get banned all of a sudden, especially when they say it has to be a surgical strike right now. So I don't understand a lot of the logic going on here. We'll
so you don't like the ban, fair to say?
I don't like it. No, I don't like it. I don't think, and you know, Josh and I have always been against bans in general. We'd rather unban cards than ban them. And if there was a card that was actively creating problems, Hull Breacher, I can understand. It's just a bad feeling to have when you can't draw any cards and you're at hand zero and your opponent has all the power. But Golos doesn't necessarily create that the moment it lands. Hull Breacher does. So to me, I'm still a bit confused by it, but we're going to go through all the points here and I guess try and break down a little bit more what they're thinking. I'll try and play devil's advocate a little bit here so we can try and see both sides of the argument. But personally, I don't think it works for me.
All right. Yes, I am on the same page as you. So here are the 3 points that I put down as to why I do not like the banning. The first is, what problem does this solve, which you alluded to, Jimmy? Was there a lot of complaining going on about Golos that I just wasn't hearing? It's not a CEDH card. It's not like something that in competitive EDH is very high on their list. Najila and stuff like that is definitely higher. Not that I would say that Golos would be unplayable, because any five-color shell can be a CEDH deck just because you can build around
all the cards. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. You can build around all their favorite win combos and things in a five-color deck. But Golos was not particularly a CEDH card.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They already talked about in their announcement that they had spoken with Studio X, Magic R&D, and... you know, we're confident that these types of cards that R&D knew why it's kind of not the greatest design. And, you know, I give Studio X and R&D a little bit of a pass. So I'm going to say that it's bad card design. I don't mean that as throwing shade at anybody in R&D, right? Like, I don't think it was clear why it was not great card design until we'd play with it for a little bit. Mm-hmm. But the fact that a Wooburg commander doesn't cost Wooburg, costs five generic, so it's very easy to get to, and then helps you attain your Wooburg for its Wooburg activation, that is definitely like not the greatest thing that we would want to happen. In general, one of the things that should hold back the Wooburg commanders, because it does give you access to all the colors and all the cards in those colors, should be that it is color restrictive, and at least somewhat some hoops have to be jumped through to meet the color requirement.
Yeah, because Golos, you can, right, you have a Termon Soul Ring and another, you know, you can cast it very easily and quickly. You don't need to have any colored mana to do so.
And then it helps you get the color to do its thing.
Yeah, or it helps you get a land that is very powerful, like a Cabal Coffers type thing. Right?
What if it was basic land? Would that have helped it a lot?
I think so. I think it definitely would have helped it a bit more. I mean, we've seen Golos be a menace in Historic and across a lot of other constructed formats as a result. It's really interesting because I think like the question, what problem does this solve? They actually say that this is something that has been solved in the future because they've talked to Studio X.
Yeah, so it's not like one of the worries is like, hey, they're going to make a bunch of cards, so we got to send them a message to not make cards like this. They said that was already received, so that's not solving that problem by banning it.
It's like they're retroactive. Actively solving a problem that will no longer happen in the future because Golos may be the only version of that we ever see from now on.
I like what you said about like Hole Breacher and even Iona. I was against both of those bans. I think both of those cards could exist in the format and would be fine because I don't like bans. But in general, like those bans come down and then you understand them because there was a lot of complaining about those cards. Those cards are feel bad cards. When they do their thing, it sort of sucks for the table. Golos doesn't really fit that mold either. I've played against Golos many times where somebody is doing a Maze's End deck or something like that and it's not super feel bad. Definitely there are like powerful versions of Golos, but more so than like Urza or something like that. So, that was my first point. I don't know what problem banning Golos solves. I just don't know why it needed to be taken out. It seems like mostly fine. Sure, it's popular, but I don't think it got too ubiquitous. Honestly, like at its heyday, I think Atraxa was more prevalent in the format. Like it seemed like for a while, and this might have been just because there was less commanders at that time, but it seemed for a while like every pod you were in, there would be an Atraxa deck in there.
Yeah.
And I don't think Golos ever got to that level of popularity where it felt like I was seeing it that amount of time. Do you see Golos decks often?
Yeah.
Yes, but it's roughly equivalent, it feels like, to the Korvalds and the Chulainns and the things that we're used to seeing.
Yeah.
And that's just on our experience, right? But Jimmy and I do travel around when you could travel, and Golos was available during a lot of this time, during 2019 and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if we go to a city and we say we're going to be at this card store at this time, like lots of people will show up and you get to play with a big diverse group. And we've done that many times in our lives. So it's not like we're just insulated into our playgroup, right? We see people from all over the world. I never saw Golos as an issue.
Yeah. I guess when it asks, you know, what problem does this solve? They're saying that they see this and the ban list is for the lower to mid tier power level decks, which is interesting to me because Golos at the higher tiers, I can get it. It can be very powerful. It's obviously going to be very good. And, you know, you can ramp it out fast and get incredibly powerful lands out. But at the lower to mid-tier level groups, it seems more like it just gives more players chances to play five colors without having to restrict them to having expensive mana bases.
Yeah, without being like a crazy mana base.
Which kind of leads to this next question.
So in their statement, they talk about how it crushes format diversity and makes it ubiquitous in some ways. And I question that. Does it really crush format diversity? Because in my experience, and I'd be interested to hear from you, Jimmy, and from everybody out there, a lot of people use Golos to kind of build the decks that don't have a good commander to lead them. And I'm the type of player that likes to build decks like that, right? Like I build a Tim deck. There is no commander for a Tim deck. Up till recently, there wasn't a good commander for a Curses deck. Guess what? I've played against Golos Curse decks. Mm-hmm. There wasn't a good commander for Saga decks sometimes in five color. If you wanted to play all the Sagas, there's enchantment-based decks, but they restrict you as far as color.
Yeah.
Golos allowed you to play the black Sagas and Shrines and things like that.
Yeah,
I've played against that deck before.
Morrifying Pokemon exists for creature and tribal decks, but there isn't anything for the generic five-color deck. Now, obviously, they're saying Kenrith is that solution in that version, but I don't, you know, it just didn't seem that, like, people were taking Golos and specifically being like, I'm going to make this, I'm going to really just scare people and make this deck the worst, scariest, awful thing. It's like, no, I just use Golos because I need a five-color deck to make my cool God Super Friends deck.
My God Tribal deck, my Mazes End deck. I've seen Super Friends deck. That's a really good one, five-color one. So I don't know that I agree that it crushes format diversity, or that doesn't sound like homogeneity. It's not causing the format to all, or it's like every time you see a Golos deck in the command zone, it's not the same deck that you're seeing.
So you don't get
the same sort of groan that like, oh, Golos, it's going to be this. A lot of times it's a Saga deck or a Curse deck. In my experience,
you compare that to Urza, by the way.
Yeah.
Every time you see Urza,
you're like, this sucks.
We know what's going to happen. There's going to be similar play patterns. They're going to, But Golos, it's like, hey, who knows what's going to come out? And I guess there is some sort of like, well, shucks, you get to play five colors and you get to get an immediate ramp spell on five no matter what. You can like build around that. But it doesn't seem like it was hurting Commander necessarily.
It's definitely powerful. I don't think it's fair to be like, Golos wasn't powerful. It's very powerful. But I don't think it was game-breakingly powerful. It's just near the top end of the power level.
Especially in the lower to mid tiers that they're saying they're banning the cards for, Golos was less powerful in those lower to mid tiers. People were just playing it so that they could
get their... They're not getting a guy's cradle.
Yeah, they're getting it for their cool strategy or their silly five-color shenanigans.
So I don't think I agree that it crushes format diversity. I don't think it solves a problem. And then my third point is, what about the player impact, the impact to the player base? This is an extremely popular card and commander to build around. And we're going to show here on EDH Rec, I managed to grab this right before they took Golos off. Golos was the most popular commander by a pretty decent margin. If you go to top commanders, they only track by the last 2 years.
The coolest kid at the school.
So you have to think, like, decisions like this, all of a sudden, everybody who had a Golos deck, they can't play it anymore. So that's tens of thousands of people affected, right? EDH Rec doesn't really count the number of decks in existence in the world.
Yeah.
It just counts the number of decks relative to other decks kind of that were posted online. So you've got all these people at home that don't even consume content online or whatever that have their Golos deck that's put together kind of, you know, like Jimmy said, and the mid to low power level tiers. And suddenly they're told they can't play this deck because the rules have changed.
It was also in the core set. So a lot of them were printed and a lot of players presumably got their hands on them at the time.
So that's tens of thousands of decks, potentially millions of dollars worth of cards acquired, traded for, whatever, to build those decks and play those decks. And again, I have to ask the question, like, is that worth it for a card that at least not very many people were really complaining about? Like, for a card that's not wreaking havoc in that, it's not near the top of the power level, it doesn't feel unbeatable.
Yeah.
Have you ever sat down against a Golos deck and been like, I'm never going to win this game?
Nope.
Yeah, so it's just... And Golos isn't even a card that you sit down with and you're like, I'm not going to be able to do anything this game, right? It's not even like a feel-bad Hole Breacher Iona-style card. So I get that they think that the design's not great, but I just feel like the juice is just definitely not worth the squeeze here. I also think there's something... Golos is a very new player-friendly card. In fact,
it's incredibly new player-friendly.
In one of our episodes, we talked about what the best decks for new players to build would be, and we recommended Golos. You know why? Because it's easy.
Yeah, you don't need to worry about your mana base. You don't need to get all the expensive lands because you can always just play Golos on five no matter what lands you have.
And it'll help fix all your lands from there.
Yeah, you can grab your tri-land or whatever. And
when it dies, it's not super feel bad. You're probably going to be able to cast it again. So if you want to do the Golos thing, you're probably going to be able to. And if you're a new player, one of the most daunting things I think about the Commander format is that taking that leap to building your first deck yourself.
Yeah.
That's a hard thing for a lot of players, and they don't want to have to think about their mana base. They barely can contain what it will take just to put in the cards that aren't the mana, right? And that's a hard enough hurdle to clear. And you see that, I think, in the numbers on EDH Rec, where it was a very popular, because it was popular with new players. And we've heard from a lot of players who, like, one of their early decks was Golos. And sure, veteran players would, like, roll their eyes. But of course, new players want to build something that to them makes sense and is not going to be difficult.
Morphon, again, was another example of that, but that's more tribal. I mean, to me, this ban feels more like a statement ban than anything else, and that seems like the primary driving factor, because if we do look at these questions, does it solve a huge problem? Wasn't a problem to begin with. The player impact is massive. Tons and tons of players are going to have to switch their commanders and make more purchases or whatever to fix that problem. And they didn't crush format diversity because Golos decks, in the end, I think, for the lower to mid tiers, opened up more deck choices rather than limited them. Whereas if you're playing, I mean, any of like the really top powerful commanders, the ones that people are like, they should ban this, it's very clear what kind of deck they play and how they play it. So
there's a huge difference, too, between banning Hullbreacher and banning Golos, right? Hullbreacher is one card in a deck.
In the 99.
Your deck still exists. You take that card out, you put another card in.
You could just put a land in.
Yeah.
I mean, geez.
And for the most part, your deck is fine. Now you have a deck built around Golos and Golos gets banned. You can't just put Kenrith as the commander of that deck, because do you still want Aminatu's Augury and Endless Ranks of the Dead?
Right,
or whatever?
Right.
Like, you don't want a lot of the cards that you had in there. So now all of a sudden you've got to tear that entire deck apart and build a new deck. I think the impact on the players is very, very large in this case. And I think it's fine, honestly, if you have a commander that's like slightly annoying, but is also a good vehicle to get new players into the format and it's not over the top powerful.
Yeah.
Like, that seems like generally a win, right? Shepherd some new players in the format, get them to try Commander. At certain tables, and, you know, if you're people like us that play a lot of Commander, you know, Golos, you might see it a little bit more often, and it is problematic and tough, but that's only slightly annoying. It's not, like, unbeatable. It doesn't make you, like, not want to play, and I think the give and take there is fine. I think that the upside of, you know, it's accessible, it helps people sort of get into the format, is kind of worth it.
And a casual reminder to everyone that the Rules Committee is also a big fan of Rule Zero, which is decide your own rules, and if you don't agree with this ban and you have a deck that you don't want to tear apart, talk to your playgroup about it. I don't think many playgroups are going to be like, no, you can't play that anymore, unless you were the oppressive player at the table every time you whipped your Golos deck out. So just have that conversation. This isn't the end of your Golos deck necessarily, but it is certainly from the Rules Committee standpoint.
Yeah, I'll say, if you sit down at a table with me and you go, hey, can I play my Golos deck? I'm going to be like, yeah, it's fine. It's
and totally fine. Then if you are really mean and rude, we'll be like, okay, cool. That's it. We're not gonna tell you to stop playing it.
It's gonna be fine.
Yeah, it's gonna be fine, because we're trying to do things that are broken and dumb and silly too, and win with crazy cool combos and all that.
Yep. Now, maybe some players would say that the popularity of Golos is one of the reasons that it needed to go, right? Mm-hmm. I've seen that listed as like, well, it was the most popular commander on EDHREC, so a lot of people were playing it, and that right there is proof positive that it should be banned. Listen, there's always going to be a most powerful, most popular commander. Whatever's at the top of the list.
It was attractive for a long, long time.
So we can't just go along banning whatever the most popular thing is. After this, it's going to be Korvold. Should we get rid of that? After that, it's going to be, you know, Julaine or something.
Maybe there's a world where the band is Commander List comes back, and Golos is just banned as Commander, so you can still play this in your deck. But even then, it kind of...
No, but I still don't think that solves the problem.
Oh, right? It definitely does.
Yeah. Of all these people whose decks just went away this morning.
Yeah, I think it's really important, again, especially if you've made investments into your deck and there is no real good replacement. You have a Maze's End deck that has Golos as the Commander. Just make sure you have that conversation, because I don't know if the impact of this is going to be overall a good thing, because it's a lot of players affected. And so just want to make sure that we're avoiding that.
Yeah, I do want to say, like I said, I don't like Golos as a card design-wise. I think that it was a mistake for a number of reasons, but I don't think that it is worthy of a ban. I just don't think it meets the threshold where, like, it causes so much badness that it's worth banning, especially when so many people clearly love it and have built decks around it.
This also might set a bad precedent, which is like, right, Leovold gets banned, Hullbreacher comes out. They're like, you know what? Hullbreacher is very similar to what Leovold does. We got to ban this as well. Because what they did is they said, Studio X has said they're not going to make cards like this in the future. So what we're going to do is retroactively ban anything that's even similar to it in the past. And so I think that's like kind of a weird precedent, because what if something else comes up and you're like, you know what? This mechanic is now problematic. We know they're not going to make it anymore in the future. And these cards that already exist, we're just going to get rid of them because we know they're not coming along anymore. And that's not what we want in our format. So it does feel a little interesting, to say the least.
All right, well, we'll see what happens. Don't forget, we've still got the Worldfire unban here to discuss. And there was one other small change that would have been easy to miss. We'll talk about all that in just a second, but we're going to take a quick break and hear a message from our sponsors.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Discover why critics are calling Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes the best film of the franchise.
What a wonderful day!
It's a jaw-dropping spectacle that demands to be seen on the biggest screen possible.
I need to go.
Hang on.
It is our time.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Now playing only in theaters. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
All right, we are back talking about the latest banning and unbanning updates from the Rules Committee for Commander. Golos, Tireless Pilgrim, he's tired, he's out. But turns out there is
taking a long
a storm
rest.
Brewing. And by storm, I mean a fire that wraps the whole darn world. Worldfire, a card that has been long banned in the format, is now back.
All right, let me read Worldfire, because I would assume a lot of people out there don't know what it is since you haven't been allowed to play it.
Exactly.
Worldfire is 6 red, 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 so 9 mana for a sorcery. It says, exile all permanents, period. Exile all cards from all hands and graveyards. Each player's life total becomes 1.
Oh.
So exile all permanents. That's lands, everything.
The whole board gets cleared.
Exile all cards from all players' hands and graveyards. So nobody's got a hand, nobody's got a graveyard. Each player's life total gets set to 1. And then you go. So in my experience, what tends to happen is you say go, the person draws their card, they can't play it because it costs too much mana, and it's the only card in their hand, they say go. Yeah. Then the next player does that, and they say go. Then somebody eventually draws a land, they play it. And it's kind of like the game started over, but you have no starting hand.
And you only have one life, so if you have like a 1-1, like a Llanowar Elves, you may just win the game.
And that's often what happens. And the red player is usually the player that has burn spells and or small creatures.
Right.
And so they think they're going to get off to the fastest start from this. They're going to play a 1-1 with haste, or they're going to have a lightning bolt, kill the most problematic player, whoever dropped a land.
Yep.
But it can go against you if you're playing an elf deck or something. They just happen to be like, okay, I have a small creature, play it.
Yeah.
And then sometimes it's just like attack, win.
Yeah,
it's a very interesting card.
Yeah, and it's unbanned now. So before this came out, what, M13, I got back into the game around M15, so this is kind of weird to think like, hey, let's bring this back into the format, especially because there are a lot of cards, I think, sitting around the 8 mana, 9 mana level that are on the ban list that people have been clamoring for a while. So this is the first one to come off. So let's, I guess
it here, is definitely not a card that you look at and think, oh, we want that back in the format.
Yeah, screw Golos. Let's bring back Worldfire. All right, well, we have the Rules Committee's reasoning and their official statement. So Josh, you want to take this one?
Sure. From the Rules Committee, Worldfire was banned due to the problematic interaction with floating mana and having access to your commander. We want to foster a commander environment where 8 and 9 mana spells are viable and likely to show up in a game, so we evaluate the expensive ones in that context. Unlike Coalition Victory and Biorhythm, which we continue to believe are problematic in that environment, the level of effort needed to make Worldfire effective is sufficient that we suspect it will not be as much of an issue. There are already cheaper ways to do similar things in the format. We believe the social contract and robust pregame discussions will keep Worldfire out of games in which it doesn't belong.
So, what do we think? Josh and I, classically, historically, have always been for unbanning cards. And in the case of Worldfire, I guess I'm okay with it.
I'm fine with it.
There are cards around 8-9 mana that do just win the game on the spot, or combos. So, I don't see the worst thing in the world happening if Worldfire does happen to hit the table. It is sort of one of those, like, pull the switch and this is your only out to get rid of all of the problems on the table. But it sets everyone's life total to one. Presumably the game's going to end pretty quickly after this kind of card is resolved.
Yeah. It's... I get what they're saying about, like, access to a commander card with Worldfire.
Right.
Means, like, I don't know what you've got in your command zone. It's mono red, something with haste, I guess.
Ragavan. So if you play... If you have a 10 mana, you'll... Play 10, you'll pay for 10 mana, cast Worldfire for 9,
Float
and
the
then cast Ragavan.
Yeah.
Or Norrin the Wary.
Kill one player. There might be some other ones we're not thinking of that could kill more. Heartless Isuga, I guess, if it got back. No.
No.
Yeah, it got back. Yeah, it'd kill you too, though.
Yeah.
Whatever. I'm sure there are ways to do it, but you need a lot of mana. And there are many situations, like Jimmy said, where the game just says, hey, yo, if you've got 10, 11, 12 mana, you could probably win with this.
You're going to take it out. Yeah, you're going to win.
If you want to play that card, you can do it. And one thing I like about Worldfire is in general, like the game, even though I explained that scenario where people draw and whatever, that stuff all happens fast. So when Worldfire resolves, the game ends pretty quickly thereafter.
Yeah.
There's very few. It can happen where people stabilize and then you're in a weird situation where somebody Worldfired and you're 15 turns later and the game hasn't ended, but that's not very often. So I like that about it, because what I don't want is a card that costs a lot of mana that comes off the ban list that only creates like slogs.
Yeah. I would say at the very least, because it's put your life total to one, it does create an environment where the game should presumably end pretty quickly. I don't know if there are like sweet Worldfire combos that people want to be running with these kinds of cards, but I don't see this as like the worst thing in the world. But I also don't see it as the best thing. I don't really care. I've never seen this card around. Rarely are we seeing this sort of as a win condition. So
it's banned.
It's banned, yeah. So I kind of imagine this is similar to just them going, okay, let's look at the high end of the list and just take a scroll through and see, is there anything on here that doesn't actually need to be banned? And it's not in response to current status. It's not in response to the way people play or what's happening in play groups. I think they just looked through the list. They had other cards on there around this mana level and went, Worldfire seems fine. Let's take it off.
Yeah, I think we're not going to see it very much, and it will be almost like it doesn't matter whether it was banned or unbanned because very few people will play it. I do think it brings up an interesting conversation we can have really quickly. They mentioned Biorhythm and Coalition Victory, mm-hmm. both of which I think are fine to unban. Biorhythm in particular, I would probably have unbanned before Worldfire because Biorhythm, again, when it resolves, almost always just ends the game. Sometimes it ends the game in a draw. That's the one where everybody's life total becomes equal to the number of creatures they have.
Yep.
How much does it cost? 8 or 9?
8 mana. And they justified this staying banned but because the decks that will play it, like Green, will have mana dorks and have the creatures that also make sure that your life total does not become 0 if you cast this as early as turn 5 or 6 or 4 or whatever.
Sure. Yeah. But, you know, with some removal, you can really hurt yourself and die in the process as well. But fine. Whatever. Biorhythm, fine. Coalition Victory is the one where it's a 5-color win condition, right?
Yeah. It's 3 mana and then Wooburg, so 8 mana total. You win the game if you control a land of each basic land type and a creature of each color. So your commander could be that if it's a 5-color commander, not 5-color color identity, but has Wooburg like Chromat or whatever.
It has to be Chromat, like Kenrith and Golos.
Yep, do not count.
Don't count.
Yep. And then you can have like 3 shocklands to cover each land of each basic land type. So they consider that again to be too easy to satisfy to just get to that 8 mana and win with just those cards on the table.
Again, I think Biorhythm and Coalition Victory both will be totally fine along the same lines as Worldfire. They could come off. You know, I was talking to Murph about this morning, and he feels pretty strongly, and I sort of agree with him after he laid it out for me, that Panoptic Mirror should come off the ban list. It's 5 mana for an artifact. You can pay the imprint cost, which you pay X and tap the Panoptic Mirror, and you remove an instant or sorcery card with converted mana cost X from your hand from the game. And then at the beginning of your upkeep, you may copy the imprinted instant or sorcery card and play the copy without paying its mana cost. So the obvious combo here is you do a extra turn spell,
yep,
like Time Warp, and then every upkeep you get an extra turn, so you just get infinite extra turns.
Mm-hmm.
Murph's point was like, here's how that has to work. You pay 5 mana for a Panoptic Mirror, then 5 mana to imprint Time Warp on it, right?
And then you wait for your next upkeep.
That's 10 mana, and then you have to survive, and the Panoptic Mirror has to survive until your next upkeep. You just spent 10 mana, so other people probably have access to around 10 mana.
Right.
And I think what we've learned is that that will never happen. The other way to do it is pay it for 5 mana, and then on the next turn imprint it.
Yeah, or next
then
turn,
wait another turn,
and then use 5 mana. Yeah, that's 2 full turn cycles then.
This is, to me, is the definition of, like, sure, if you pull that off, and then you win, right? I have infinite extra turns. Everyone goes, cool, shovels up. And it's done. It doesn't cause like the game to. It's not like stasis lock.
Or like Worldfire, where everyone goes, okay, well, I'm going to draw, and I guess I don't. Okay, pass turn.
Yeah, it's not like Wheel of Fortune and Hullbreacher 2, where you're like, okay, everybody draw and keep going. We have 0 cards, but maybe we can catch up here. It's just like it's done. It's over. You spent your 10 mana. I would almost always rather run just Time Stretch instead of Panoptic Mirror anyway, right?
I see that.
Take my 2 turns now. And I'll probably win, and I don't have to like hope a thing survives on the battlefield 1 rotation of the table.
Expropriate.
Yeah.
Okay.
Those are the 3 cards we thought could still be unbanned. There's a few more I would argue for, but let's not go into that too much. I wanted to say really quickly before we wrap this all up, I did a poll on Twitter, as I usually do for these things, and I'm looking it up right now so that I can
The 4 options were regarding the Worldfire and the Golos banning. Did you like both changes, dislike both changes, just thought the Golos ban was bad, or just thought the Worldfire unban was bad?
Okay. So people who like both changes, thought both changes were good, were 42%.
Okay, that's almost half.
Yep. The people that thought neither change was good are 12%.
Okay.
People that thought the Golos banning was bad, but they were fine with Worldfire being unbanned, we could assume, were 34%. And then people who only liked the Worldfire unbanned but were okay with the Golos ban were 12%. So what I think what another way to state these numbers is that about 54% of people like the Golos ban and about 46% of people don't like the Golos ban.
Right, because they either dislike both changes or just the Golos ban change. So you're just going to add those numbers together.
Which I would say, and again, this is my Twitter, 5,000 people so far, so it's not like, you know, I don't think it's the most scientific sampling, right?
Yeah.
But still, 60, you know, or 50 to 40, whatever, like, it's pretty close.
Yeah, and it's not a clear winner, which I think is important to say. If everyone's like, thank goodness Golos is finally banned, 70-80%, I think Hullbreacher would have shown a higher percentage. I don't know if you put a poll out for that as well.
Yeah, I believe it did.
I mean, it's interesting because I think the people that like both changes, and I can understand people liking the Worldfire unban just because it's like, okay, cool, unbanning cards doesn't seem like it ruins the format. I think it's a pretty easy one to like, so that's why you see like 11-12% of people not liking the Worldfire unban. It just seems pretty normal. People that actually dislike the Golos ban being around 50%, 45-46%, that's like a coin flip. That's like one in every other player. And I think the thing I would want to find out next is if you have a Golos deck, do you like the ban? Because you're going to be the person
it's going to be so low, yeah.
Yeah, but you may, but if it did somehow come back and it was like 90% were like, yes, this is fine, and then go, oh, maybe they felt the power level.
I knew this was broken the whole time.
Yeah, exactly, that's true. Yeah. But if it doesn't, then
I think we saw that with Leovold, where a lot of people who had Leovold decks were like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had that deck.
I did feel that, yeah.
So Hullbreacher was, it was 80% either didn't care or agreed with the banning.
Okay.
57% agreed with it, and 23% didn't care. So I would say a much higher approval rating.
Yeah.
Than
it's interesting because the didn't care category doesn't really work here because so many people have Golos decks. Whereas I didn't run Hullbreacher in a single one of my decks. So I was kind of on the didn't care area.
Yeah.
But if you had to ask me to pick a side, I would say I would have agreed with the ban. Oh, yes. They also got rid of one other thing.
We're going to wrap it up. But you're right. They made one other rules change. They got rid of something called Rule 10. It's an old rule that doesn't really do or affect the gameplay anymore just because other rules in Magic have kind of changed in the meantime, so they just got rid of it.
Had to do with like the legend rule with commanders, but they got rid of it, so Rule 11 is now Rule 10. No, but this doesn't change anything, so you don't need to worry about it.
Basically, anybody who's played Commander in the last few years, you wouldn't even notice this is there or not, so
pretty much.
It won't change anything for you. All right, to the listeners, what do you think of the Golos ban or the Worldfire unban? We'd love to hear in the comments on Twitter, everything else. Like to hear everybody's perspective. Do you think it's awesome? Do you think it sucks? Are you somewhere in the middle? Are you lukewarm?
Did you have a Golos deck?
I would like to hear, if you have a Golos deck, just start with, I had a Golos deck, and I think X.
And also let us know what the Golos deck did. It would be interesting to say, like, mine was a try-hard deck that wanted to win on turn six every single time.
Mine was the extra turns version or whatever.
Or mine just wanted to play Maze's End.
Yeah.
And make sure to check out our new sponsor, channelfireball.com/command. They opened a brand new marketplace on October 1st. There are a ton of giveaways. So if you want to buy Magic cards, maybe hold off until October 1st. You're going to be able to find the best prices from legit verified vendors. And of course, you'll be supporting the show as you do so.
Yeah, really excited about that Channel Fireball marketplace. I'm definitely going to be using it when it comes out. And I don't know if we're eligible to win things. Like, probably not, because it would probably
look
Josh,
weird. You won the...
your signed foil soul ring. So, yeah.
Thanks for insider trading.
Does that mean we don't have a chance to win the Black Lotus?
Oh, no. I mean, probably not.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
It would be really weird if they're like, and we announced the winner of the Black Lotus. And it is Jimmy Wong.
Jimmy Wong bought 500 copies of Worldfire this month, and that made him eligible.
That might look a little fishy.
Yeah, a little fishy. Yeah.
Still, I am excited about the marketplace because I'm excited for a place where the prices of cards are going to get depressed because there will be competition. But I know that the quality of service I'm going to get from each individual vendor is going to be high.
And verified.
It's definitely a detriment sometimes where we've all had bad experiences where the scotch tape is touching the card. And
I don't want to talk about it. When they use eBay occasionally and it comes in and it's like, why is this folded like this?
Who would send a card in this way?
They didn't even put it in a hard sleeve. Ah, I hate it. Okay. So that's definitely not going to happen. So make sure you check it out. Channelfireball.com/command to support the show.
Yeah. And a big thanks to Ultra Pro who supports all of our content. You know, if you want to get the best sleeves for those awesome cards that they didn't ship with the tape touching the card, then Ultra Pro is the way to go. Eclipse sleeves are what we like to use here around the Command Zone. We love their playmats, their deck boxes, Satin Towers, I mean, I think are among the best deck
that
boxes.
That shuffle feel.
Yeah,
can't
the Eclipse
it.
Shuffle feel. So thank you to Ultra Pro. They are the ones we personally trust our own collections to.
And a big thanks to everyone here at the Command Zone. Lady Danger, Manson Lung, Craig Blanchett, Ashlyn Rose, Alfred Asaka, Josh Murphy, Jake Boss, Patrick Nan, Jordan Pridgen, Arthur Meadowcroft, Sam Waldo, Gaurav Galal, and Truck Tie.
All right, and big thanks to Jeffrey Palmer, who does the living card animations that start our show, and many of the ones that sit behind us on set, including this one. Yeah, you can find Jeffrey on Twitter at LivingCardsMTG.
All right, thanks everyone. Have a good day, and I don't know, keep unbanning things. Yeah.
Sorry to everybody who had a Golos deck. I really did have nothing to do with it. I tried to talk him out of it, but that's just the way it goes sometimes.
That's just the way it
is. If you have that Golos deck, keep it around. If you ever run into Jimmy and I at a Command Fest or something, a live event when we can have them in the future, I guarantee if you say, hey, can I play my Golos deck? We're going to be like, yeah, that's cool.
Thumbs up.
All right, everybody.
As long as you don't pee us with it.
We'll be back with Midnight Hunt stuff very soon.
All right, see you, everyone.
Peace.
For further inquiries, send an email to commandcast@rocketjump.com or ask us on Twitter at JF Wong and at Josh Lee Kwai. See you later, alligator.
Greetings, humans.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly.
We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.